Part C. If you've ever lived in any foreign country, you may have realized after a while that the local people you met didn't just speak a different language. They sometimes behaved really strangely. They acted in all sorts of ways that struck you as irrational, frustrating, and eventually annoying. They stood too close to you or too far away. Their voices were too loud or too soft. They were too vague about such basics as time, distance, and probabilities, or too specific. And after months of this disorienting behavior all around you, you may have wondered whether you were going crazy. In a sense, you were. You were suffering from what has come to be called culture shock. This concept was popularized by returning foreign aid volunteers in the 1960s and 1970s. But even before these volunteers were sent overseas, a cultural anthropologist named Edward T. Hall had studied the suffering in great detail and published his findings in a compelling book, The Silent Language. Hall had spent years exploring nonverbal communication. With examples drawn from the U.S. military in World War II and foreign aid workers in the 1950s, as well as from his own research in the Native American communities of Arizona, the South Pacific, and Iran, Hall helped us understand the great extent to which culture controls our lives. He made us accept the reality that communication is about a lot more than simply words. In The Silent Language, Hall introduced the concepts of high-context and low-context cultures. The difference between high- and low-context cultures lies in whether the culture focuses more on nonverbal or verbal communication. High-context cultures are highly dependent on cultural context for communication, and low-context cultures are not so highly dependent on this kind of context. High-context cultures use communication that places importance on underlying context, meaning, and tone in the message, not just the words themselves. Countries that fall into this categorization include Japan, China, France, Spain, and Saudi Arabia. On the other hand, low-context cultures expect information to be explicitly stated so that there's no risk of confusion. In these cultures, if a message isn't clear enough, it will actually slow down the communication process. Some of the countries that fall into the low-context cultures are Switzerland, Germany, the UK, Australia, and the United States. Of course, cultures can't be categorized strictly into high or low context because most cultures fall between the extremes of the spectrum. But which side a particular culture belongs to can often predict many of its aspects. For example, in a high-context culture, similarity is an important characteristic. This is because the majority of the population in high-context cultures typically have the same level of education, as well as a shared ethnicity, religion, and history. In low-context cultures, the opposite is true. They are usually diverse and focus on the individual instead of the group. Since there are so many differences within a low-context culture, communication must be basic enough to allow for as many people to understand it as possible. Clearly, it's important for business people, for instance, to know the difference between high- and low-context cultures in order to communicate effectively and avoid making embarrassing or offensive mistakes. A full understanding of these differences will improve international relations.